I'm talking about. But on page Samach Dalid, the title of the piece is Chinuch Prati L'chol Echer Ve'Echer. The personal and individual education of each and every individual. HaPoel HaYotze. Again, it's a new paragraph, but it's really a continuation of what we've been discussing. HaPoel HaYotze L'uvda L'maisa. What emerges practically from everything that we've learned, we call Dvarim HaAmurim Adhena, who, from everything that we've said until now, is the following. Sha'ala Adam L'dun Es Matzavo Kefi Kishronosav Ve'efshariyosav HaPratim. A person needs to analyze his situation, right? Ladun, literally, to judge his situation in accordance with his abilities, his talents, whatever he's capable of doing, again, on a prati, on an individual level. Like we said, in Ena Nili Mili, starting point is a healthy sense of individuality. Ulahafik mehem es hato'eles hanirtis biyoser hanogas lo ba'atzma. We're going to see, for some reason we got a lot of hard Hebrew words today. Lahafik means to extract or to derive. To derive from them, when I study myself and I analyze my talents and my strengths and my capabilities, then I derive from that my mission. I come to recognize the to'eles hanirtis, the desired goal in accordance with that which is nogeya to me, that which is relevant in a personal way to me. Mibli la'arev b'cheshbon zeh es yecholto v'kishronosov shel hazulas. Without la'arev, without mixing into the calculation what my friend's capabilities, strengths, and talents are. That shouldn't be part of my calculation. And in this way, a person will achieve their mission in an eternal way, and it will be good for him forever. Okay, so how does a person do that? So he gives a very interesting mashal. Not really a mashal, a historical reality of how people used to find jobs. A person wanted to find a job. How do you find a job? How do you know what to go into? It's very scary. People come to IU, they're trying to figure out, what should I major in? Some people change majors, some people wait till their senior year to figure out their major. Not sure exactly what they want to do. And part of the reason is because they don't have a broad experience. You don't actually know what people do. Right? So you hear this guy makes a lot of money, so that seems like a good job. You don't have a clue what he does every day. You have zero idea what he does every day. So how does a person figure out what he's good at? And in the olden days, the options were tailor, shoemaker, baker, as we'll see. Ulam chosha se'inyan ra'isi pam ra'ayon nifla. And to make this idea chush, to be able to sense it, to feel it, and able to really come into contact with this idea, I want to share with you, he says, an amazing insight that I once saw. Kameduma mibal Teferis Yisrael. I think it was from the Teferis Yisrael. Teferis Yisrael is famous for his commentary on the Mishnayos, called Teferis Yisrael, Yachon Umboaz, the two commentaries in the standard edition of the Mishnah. He lived in the late 1700s. I think Lifshitz was his name, was his family name. Shezos lefnim b'Yisrael. So maybe it's from the Teferis Yisrael, but the idea, regardless of who it comes from, is a very powerful idea. How did it used to be in the olden days? So he says, this is how it was, lefnim b'Yisrael, in the olden days, b'yigia hana'arim l'gil habagrus, shal sheisar v'shivsar, when a young man would reach the age of somewhat adulthood, 16, 17 years old. Shisar is 16, shivsar is 17. U'michovas ha'av ha'isa l'lamid umnis l'vino. And we know from the Gemara in Kedushin, that one of the obligations of a parent or a father to his son is to teach him a profession, to make sure he can provide for himself so he doesn't become a thief. He says in parentheses, if a person is not able to be a full-time learner because of his limited abilities. And that was most people, right? It's a nice politically correct statement to say, but traditionally that was most people. Most people were not full-time learners. So how does a person, how does a father figure out what profession to guide his child in? Should the child adopt the profession of the father? Not necessarily. Let's see. This is one of the most challenging and important responsibilities of the father. That's placed upon his shoulders. To understand his son, to know what his son is good at, to identify his strengths, to identify his weaknesses. My son has very fine motor skills. He'd be a good artist. My son is good with numbers. He could be a banker. Right? The father should identify the strengths and weaknesses of the son, and to be able to find an umnis, a profession, that is close to the das of the son, that it fits the physical and emotional makeup of that child. And that it's a perfect match for his abilities. So that way he'll be able to keep a job, he'll be able to make a living, and he'll be able to properly provide for himself, again, in a way that's not disgraceful, in a way that gives honor to him, because he's good at what he does. If the parent says, we always wanted our son to be a doctor, so you have to be a doctor, and let's say he's not cut out to be a doctor, so it could be years and years and years of struggle, of difficulty, of bad relationships with his parents, until they finally accept that this is not what he's cut out for. They could have saved themselves a lot of headache. So therefore, he says, if the umnis, if the profession is thrown upon the child, right? Kafalei marka gigas, kfiya. It's forced upon the child. Al pi ratzon ha'av, based on what the father wants, what the father wishes he would have gone into when he was younger, lelo havchana mukdemes, imumatim leben, without first analyzing carefully, havchana, bechina, right? To give your child a bechina, to see what are their strengths, what are the weaknesses. So the father just forces the child to adopt a particular profession, even if it's not fitting for that child, without analyzing the strengths and weaknesses of that child. Top of the next page, page Samachai. Haya kishlon muftach. Then the failure is certain. If a person is trying to do something that they don't know how to do, or if a person is being forced down a path that's not for them, in physicality and in spirituality, as we'll see, so then he's certainly going to fail. Because he's been programmed a certain way. And if you use it in a way that goes against the program, it's going to break. The thing will crack. To the point that he'll become mitzar, little sukkah, he becomes mitzar, right? He's so mitzar that what? That he's going to not be able to bear the job anymore, and he's going to take a lot of abuse from his bosses and those who he works with, and he'll feel, I'd rather be dead than alive, because every day is terrible. My life stinks. I don't want to do this. And he dreads every day getting up to go to work, to go to that profession that he knows he's not good at, that he knows he's going to mess up, he knows his boss is going to yell at him, he's not going to keep a job, he's going to be disgraced, and he's not going to be able to be fired against his family. So he says, so how would a person find out what his son is good at? Very interesting. Look what they used to do. They had a job fair. That they would take the child who reached his age, reached the perek, meaning he reached that stage of his life, lemeshach tekufa shel shvuos mispar, for several weeks, where would they take him? Lemakom sham nimtzam bati umnios shonos. They would take him to the part of town where all the factories were, where all the different, where they were baking the bread, where they were making clothing, right? He took him to a section of, again, where all the professionals worked. Asher sham makom hachaitim, that was the place of the tailors, hasandlerim, those who deal with shoes, shoemakers, ratzanim. Hatsanim usually means either a belt maker or someone who works with leather. Ha'ufim, the bakers, Hatsayrim, the painters, the artists. So he goes and he spends a little time in the artist colony. He spends a little time in the baker's area. And he spends a little time in each of these places. But kayotze be'ela. And the father watches his son. And he sees what causes his eyes to twinkle a little bit. When he sees someone baking bread, he sees his son is looking, he's paying much more attention than he was by the belt maker. And he sees that his son is being drawn towards this. Again, maybe not in a way that can be explained, but he sees his son's excited about this. So he goes for several weeks, and he shows his son all the different professions. And the child wanders from one station to the next, and he studies all the different types of professions. And what is their nature? And the one that draws his attention, that his eyes are drawn towards, he a malacha shayeches alav, ubatmuna hatikva gedola biyosel laslachasa. It's there that he's found his place, and it's there within that place that there's hope for great success. There's tikva, there's tremendous hope within that place for great success for his son. That again, he should be able to hold the job and be able to make a proper living. Kim Yaakov har beyachem malachas ofes. So, for example, if he observes for a long period of time, the bakers. And he's blown away. There's a spilus. He's captivated by it. He's wondering, wow, look how they stoke the oven. Look how they feed the furnace. Wow, look how they knead the bread. Wow, look how they take the bread out of the oven. a special technique to take down the bread from the oven without dropping it into the fire, without leaving it in too long that it gets burnt. With the zrizos, they do it quickly. And he's very interested in it. He thinks it's fascinating. Masik as a tana means that he stokes the coals. Tana means the oven. Right? How he lights the oven, get it just to the right temperature, keep the heat in, not too hot. V'yispal mikol pratu prat shel umnezu. And he's captivated by every detail of it. Right? What someone else might find to be so boring and so irrelevant. But he's so curious. Wow, look how did they get that fire to be so hot? Wow, how do they control just the right amount of time to bake it? The bread always comes out perfect, perfectly brown and crusted on the outside, not too burnt, not too raw. He's captivated by it. Someone else might find it utterly boring. This is a sign that the profession that he is destined for, he malachas hafia. He has, Hashem programmed him to be a baker. For some reason, that's what his Hashem is being pulled towards. Now again, we're just talking about choosing a profession. All the more so we'll see this is true when it comes to finding one's place in Avodas Hashem. And if therefore he gets pulled into this umnes, if he's drawn into this umnes, then he'll be successful. V'yasechayil. Chayil means a success. He will be a success. He will be a great success. V'yesh asher yispal dafka melechas hatzayaris. There's those who are attached or drawn to the artists. They say, I could paint also. I could design interesting things. V'yamor v'yizbon in shovas haruchos. Wow, look at the detail of this painting. He's fascinated by it. And he thinks that he could do the same thing. And he looks at the painting. He says, wow, look at the detail. Shabali chayim niflam. Wow, this person drew a painting of a horse. Look how lifelike it is. Look at the detail in the hair of the horse's tail. Wow, unbelievable. And he sees, look how he's etched in. You can almost see, you can see the wrinkles in the guy's face in the picture. Right? Sirtuk means to etch in, or to scrape away, to carve out. So he looks at, again, he looks at a sculpture, and he says, wow, it's unbelievable, the detail. Hadavar mosheches libo, v'eino ozev esam makom rak la'achar zibon ha'des rabo. And he only goes to check out the other things at the job fair after he stayed at that particular station for a really long time. He felt something different there. So therefore, it must be he's meant to be an artist. Excuse me. And therefore, a good father will direct him towards that. We'll say, I can see that that's exciting for you. Why don't you give it a shot? Whatever his heart and his spirit desires. This is his place. That's where he's meant to be and not somewhere else. And this can serve as a way, again, to solve the great mystery of what should a person do day in and day out with his life. And this old, way of people trying out jobs was a great way for a person to find their profession. So obviously, building off this idea that the Tiferes Yisrael reveals to us, he says, all the more so, it's true in Anani Kedusha. It could be the Tiferes Yisrael himself said this. Why are you in this shir and not in a different shir? Maybe you're thinking about switching to a different shir. Why do I teach here? Why did I leave my job at TBC to come to YU? What was it? Why was I attracted to it? Why do I buy certain svarim and look at other svarim and say, this is not for me? Right? Why is a person more interested in learning Tanakh, another person more interested in learning Halacha? Another person loves Gemara Bihin, another person loves Gemara Bikiyas. Where does that come from? So he says very simply, all the more so, the same thing is true when it comes to Melechas HaKodesh. Ki mikra malei dibra ha-kosov. Chanoch lenar al-pidarko. When it comes to developing one's spiritual world, it's not what the parent wants their little tzaddikal to be. You have to look at the kid and see what he is. If he's cut out to be a great Talmud Chacham, so give him the opportunity to become that. If he's not so into the learning, and again, he's been given a proper education, he's given it a fair shot. The Gemara says, if after 5 years of full-time learning, it doesn't work for a person, then he should go into a profession. He's not cut out to be a rabbi or a mechanech, and that's fine. Not everyone is. Chanuch lanar al-pidarko daiko. Educate the child according to his way. Specifically, his way. Klomer, ki be'emes har be'drachim l'makom. There are many pathways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kulam nachonim, kulam berurim. Yeah, like we say in the morning. Kulam ahuvim, kulam kedoshim. V'rov darchei avodim v'shitos halimur hashonos amitim him. And he says most of the paths, not everything, you have to be careful, there are some people who are charlatans out there, you know, but different gedolim who have different hanhagos and a different derech halimud. When Rav Chaim Brisker came and you know, recreated, redefined the way that Gemara is meant to be studied, and has continued to be studied since that time in, you know, all Lithuanian yeshivas, the Chazon Ish was very not into it. The Chazon Ish thought this was not the proper way to learn Gemara. And it makes it too abstract. It's not halacha l'maisa. The point of learning is to be able to know what to do. And the Chazon Ish wrote strongly against it. The Sfardi Gedolim also. Rav Adi Yosef, the Sfardi Derech is very different. Right? But no one's going to say that Rav Chaim Brisker is outside, you know, the realm of what's appropriate in terms of a derech halimud. It works for some people, and it doesn't work for other people. And Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter says, "Kulam nechonim, kulam berurim." They're all different strands of emes. Vasharahim benuyim al yisodos eitanim, and they're built on strong foundations, and they're part of our hashkafic and halachic worldview. Baram hashinuyim he mitzada mekablim alomdim. So what dictates how I'm going to choose to learn? Chanuch na'al pidarko. Turn the page. V'heim tzrichim limtso inyinu meshichas leiv lilimud mesuyam v'shita mesuyamas. And therefore, each person needs to figure out, what's my shita? What's my derech? Right? The Rebbe has an obligation to try to help the Talmud identify his derech. And if the Rebbe's derech is not the Talmud's derech, so the Talmud should find a different Rebbe. That's fine. And there should be no hard feelings. Because if I believe that there's different ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I want the person to find the path that's best for them. It's so silly. The Apter Rav is quoted by Rav Moshe Wolfson in the Munas Yitecha in Parshas Vayikra. He quotes the Apter Rav. The Apter Rav says, anyone who says that my Rebbe's derech is emes and it's the only derech emes, he says it's karuv luminos. It's close to apikorsis. To say that there's only one way to serve Hashem is mamish against Torah. It's heresy. There's no such thing. Anyone who says it's my Rebbe's way, he's the only true tzaddik. His derech halimud is the only true derech halimud. For you, it is. But a person who says, it's my Rebbe and no one else, karuv luminos. It's close to heresy. It's so far from what Jews believe. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Totally different worldviews. Reflected in their piskei halacha and reflected in the way that their attitude on life. And yet, the Gemara points out that they would marry their children to one another. To show that even though we have very different approaches to things, right? Even in a halachic realm, but it's not going to stop us from recognizing that, what do you mean? We hold of you and you hold of us. Even though we hold very differently. Yeah?
And Beit Hillel also quoted their opinion, didn't they also quote Beit
Shammai first? That's correct. Beit Hillel would always analyze Beit Shammai's opinion and present it first, as part of that humility and part of that recognition that there are other paths which are true. The tzaddik was hanging behind my head, Rav Kook. Rav Kook and Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld. Yedolei Yerushalayim in their time. They had very, very different worldviews, how to deal with a Jew who is not yet observant. And yet they had a tremendous love for one another. Even though they had a fierce machlokas in terms of what's best for, you know, for Eretz Yisrael, for the Jewish people. But they had a deep respect for one another. Even though they had very strong differences of opinion about what's the best way to try to move Klal Yisrael forward. So therefore, each person has to find, what's my shita? What's my derech? V'yidei rav u'machanech mesuyam, ki rak oz tiyatzalchasa mushlamas, to find the right rabbi, to find the right yeshiva to learn in, to find the right derech halimud. And that's how a person grows. Va'adavar nira v'nikar, next paragraph. Va'adavar nira v'nikar etzal tamidim hayoshim b'yeshiva. This becomes particularly clear and highlighted, and can also, unfortunately, be sometimes very negatively displayed in yeshiva. How so? Ki yesh asher yoshiv etzal moria umagit shir mesuyam. You get one individual who attends a particular shir. V'chol davar shenishma mipia moria. And everything he hears from his rabbi, right? You can have a person who sits by a shir, his rabbi says something, and he says, wow, that really resonates in my mind, that really resonates in my heart. And every question that he asks penetrates to the depths of his mind, and it finds a place there. And no matter what this rabbi says, this Talmud loves this rabbi. Wow, amazing, the best shir ever. Best shir ever? Probably not the best shir ever. For that Talmud, it was the best shir ever. For that Talmud, he loves this Rebbe so much that every shir is the best shir ever. And he says, oh, that was mamish. The Rebbe's Baal Ruach HaKodesh was exactly the question I was thinking of. And the way the Rebbe addressed the question, raised the question, and answered the question, that was unbelievable. And his friend could be sitting there, listening to the same shir, and say, oh, it's nice. What? Did you not hear the same shiur that I heard? And the answer is no, he didn't hear the same shiur that he heard. Because he heard it with his ears and his heart and his mind. So he heard it differently. And when this Rebbe answers up the kasha, Nira lo ba'alil, ki amnam teret ze maspik v'niflahu. The Talmud never says, has a question on his Rebbe's answer. His friend says, you know, I could question that. Your Rebbe's whole approach, I could knock out the shiur by asking the following question based on Tosfos and Yavamis. And he says, no, my Rebbe's glatt kosher. His pshat in the sugya, it's perfectly clear. And the Rebbe's answer is clear. It answers up all the questions. Okay. So that same person who in that particular environment is in love with Torah, is growing, is learning, he goes to a different shiur. He sits in on a different shiur. Hagam ki oso magid shiur, yaksha kushos harifos yoser. It could be the other magid shiur is a bigger talmid chacham. And it could be the other magid shiur asks even sharper questions. And maybe he answers the questions also with greater depth and breadth. Right? He answers it b'ofen bar yoser, with great, even greater clarity, the way he delivers the shiur. Vagam yis'ameis lepalpil b'pulpula shal Torah l'omek l'rochev. And his expansive view of Torah is gevaldik. Va'af gam yachkor harim. And he's able to uproot mountains and grind them together, zeh b'zeh, b'svaros yunios amiros. Mamash a genius. And this person could go to that chair and say, it doesn't speak to me. How can that not speak to you? You're learning by one of the greatest people of all time. Just, I don't know, doesn't speak to me. Aval pichin hu margish she'eino motzei yadav raglav etzlo. It feels that his hands and feet don't have a place there. It's not his place to be. And his friend is just the opposite. His friend says, you got to check out this shiur. It's an amazing shiur. It doesn't resonate with him. Right? To his friend who's sitting by his side, he dafka feels a tanug amiti mikol dvaro. From that Rebbe, he feels everything he says is Torah misinai. Umocho niftach ve'inam iros. His mind is open and his eyes are illuminated. Ve'etzal magid shiur rishon. And by the first Rebbe, lo yimtza tam nachon bedvaro. So we can be babies about it. We can fight, oh, my Rebbe's better than your Rebbe, your Rebbe's better than my Rebbe. Or we could say there's different people need different things. We discussed at Rebbeim meetings a couple years ago, we kind of dropped that conversation. I wish we would bring it back up. To like stop with the programs. There shouldn't be an IBC, BMP, YP. There should just be you sign up for particular classes or Rebbeim. But why do we even have to call them different programs? Why can't we just be one yeshiva? With the recognition that some people need IBC and some people need BMP and some people need YP. And it's not a question of better or worse, it's a question of where a person's holding. You put a JSS guy in Rav Rosenzweig's shiur. Rav Rosenzweig is a genius and gives an unbelievable shiur. It means nothing to him. Right? And you put a Rav Rosenzweig guy in maybe one of the beginner's shiur, and he's bored out of his mind. He's not saying anything here. I'm way past this. Okay, so why do we sometimes get so childish about it? And we're trying to fight. Oh, this and the Rebbeim get insulted, and Talmidim get embarrassed of where they're up to or where they're not up to. It's ridiculous. Well, if you have MS Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, and the bottom line is, each person's doing the best they can. You're learning Torah. You're finding someone you connect to. It's okay. You don't have to connect to everyone. There's no halacha that you have to connect to everyone. V'kulam yegiyas haTorah la'amitasa l'neged einayim. Right? And each person is working to learn Torah in a truthful way, to the way that works for them. Im kol zeh yishal machaneo v'yishal diglo. And yet each person has his camp, and each person has his flag, and that's okay, as long as there's achdus b'neihem. The way the Klal Yisrael would camp in the Midbar was the Torah was in the middle, the Mishkan was in the middle, and some people were to the north, some people to the south, to the west, to the east. Different Shvatim. But they all were equidistant from what? From the Torah in the middle. The same thing is true in the Gemara at the end of Maseches Tanis. The circle of Tzaddikim, Lasad Lava. Yeah, which many Sfarim explain what's the idea of the circle of the Tzaddikim. When you're in a circle, every spot is equidistant to HaKadosh Baruch, who's in the middle. Right? So if Kook is equidistant to HaKadosh Baruch, as the Sama Rebbe is equidistant to HaKadosh Baruch, even though their worldviews are totally different. They each have their flag, they each have their position, but they have respect for one another, and they don't, God forbid, have jealousy of one another. Or they don't have gaiva towards one another. And each person needs a Rebbe who's mamish, perfect for him. Or as perfect as he can get. And this is what Chazal meant when they said in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Daf Yomi just had this Gemara recently. Ein adam lo me Torah el mimakom shalibo chafetz. A person only learns Torah in the place that his heart desires. The place could, of course, mean the actual location. I want to be in Eretz Yisrael now. I want to be in New York, for whatever reason. Mimakom shalibo chafetz, in the place where his heart desires. You force someone to go to yeshiva that he doesn't want to go to, he's not going to be open to learning. So the parents who force their kid to go to a certain yeshiva, and the kid doesn't want to go there, right? I'm not saying that the kids should always have the final say on where they, you know, go to school and go to yeshiva. Right? But a parent has to know the child, has to see what are my child's strengths, what are his weaknesses. If he's in a place where he's not happy, he's not going to learn well. And the Yalkut, the Medrash Tehillim, says even stronger. The person doesn't learn Torah, El Rak Mimi Shalibo Chafetz. A person only learns Torah from the person who he's open to learning from. There are very brilliant people in the world who have beautiful Torah to share, and some of us, our ears are just not open to hearing it. And that's okay. Right? But we have to be respectful of that person. We have to give kavod to that person because his derech is a derech ha-emes. Again, even if you feel it's mamish not my thing. Yeah?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, like, this is a nice idea, but it's a little tough to understand just given the kind of history because, like, the Bible, we know that presumably the Bona Gong knew this, yet, you know, at the end of the time, he got into fights, right? So, like, how do we reconcile? Like, I mean, the
right.
Bona Gong didn't think that.
The way the tzaddikim tell the story is that there was a very fierce opposition to Hasidus, but at the same time there may have been an unbelievably deep respect, so much so that the Vilna Gaon, the way the Hasidim tell the story is that had the Vilna Gaon met the Baal Tanya, he would have been so overwhelmed by his Kedusha that he would have changed his whole position. Now, for whatever reason, the Vilna Gaon felt he needed to be that, you know, that misnagid, that opposing force to make sure that Hasidus would emerge in the proper way. And Hasidim to this day say, if not for the Vilna Gaon, God forbid, Hasidus could have gotten too far from where it's supposed to be.
So I once told her last week in Torah Shai that you told me that.
Yeah.
That
person. Yeah.
So he said it's a very dangerous thing to say on the outside of Hasidim. They're saying that the Vilna Gaon was like not open to hearing the MS, that he would have been converted to
could be.
Hasidus. So how do we
could be.
It's truth, but again, but then we're going back to the same question
I originally
asked.
The Vilna
Gaon didn't know that.
Okay, so questions on tzaddikim. Question on tzaddik, I don't know. Lukutim Aran, section 2, piece 52. We have questions on tzaddikim, we have questions on God. We don't know how God runs the world. So this changes anything? I'm saying we have a question why God made a Holocaust. We have a question why the Vilna Gaon didn't want to listen to the Baal Tanya. We have a lot of questions. Tzaddikim do weird things. Tzaddikim have strange shitos sometimes. Hashem has some strange shitos sometimes, and Hashem runs the world. Right? But that's part of Hashem being bigger than us. And the Vilna Gaon's refusal to hear something which he may have even known was MS. What was the cheshbon there? If it's MS, so go listen. Go hear it. He has a deeper cheshbon. We don't understand. We're small people. We don't understand the hanhagos of the tzaddikim. But it's a good question. But a person, again, you can be fiercely into what you're into. If you believe that the Baal Shem Tov brought something to the world that's necessary for Mashiach's arrival, so then cling to it. But you have to be respectful of the fact that there are gedolim who mamish have barely any shaykhis to chassidus, but they're also working on a different inyan. It's hard when a person really believes that they're derech is emes, which they should. Hopefully we are trying to live a life where we feel what I'm doing is emesdik. It is sometimes hard to understand, you know, why the other person doesn't see it the way that I see it. But again, that goes back to the Gemara in Brachos, that no two people look alike and no two people think alike. And you can't be angry at them for thinking differently. That's how Hashem programmed them. That's his point. And therefore, a person learns in the place that he desires, and a person learns from the person that he desires. Okay, let's stop here for today because I want to do a little perm Torah. But again, we should try to understand that this idea from the Tiferes Yisrael, this idea of trying out different things to try to find, that's also a really important part of finding one's derech and avodas Hashem. If you only know the way that you grew up and you never went to a different community to see how do they do Shabbos over there, right? How do they learn Torah over there? How do they connect to Hashem over there? Then you're boxed in. I think I told you once when I was teaching in TABC, we took a group of seniors one time to New Square for Shabbos, and the kids were everyone was very nervous. We had to beg me and one other rabbi. We had to beg guys to come. Nah, it's gonna be awkward. They're not gonna have anything to talk to them about. They don't know anything that we know. They barely speak English. It's gonna be weird. We begged guys to come, and so many people said after that Shabbos that it was like the most life changing Shabbos of their life. And they didn't become square Hasidim. They were able to look and to learn and to be inspired and to take what was good for them and to not take aspects that don't work for them. And that's good. But we have to see what's out there, to go to see how the bakers bake and to see how the belt makers make their belts and how the tailors, you know, mend the clothing. And then a person sees, you know, where am I pulled in? What is my neshama telling me? Libi omerli. Like Rashi says in Parshas Kisisa, my heart tells me something. So one time Rashi uses that expression, libi omerli. I just feel it in my heart that this is what I need to This is what I need to do. This is what I'm feeling. This is where I'm connected. Malkum shel libo chafetz. Okay?